You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 23rd of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I wanted today to take a look at some of the things that the Trump administration is doing to fight back against the sexualization of children through the LGBTQ agenda. And the first headline that I have here to do with that comes from Breitbart. It says, Trump WH urged to review LGBTQ content in Netflix shows for children ahead of Warner Brothers deal. Shocking numbers. Most parents are unaware. And most parents are unaware of what their children watch. They think if they're going to be watching children's television that it's going to be okay for children to watch. But because of this drive to make everybody feel welcome within our society, including homosexuals, there is a drive to put homosexuals and trans characters in children's TV shows. And the thought behind this seems to be, well, what about if we have gay children? We want them to feel included. But there shouldn't be any gay children. If you are gay, it means you are homosexual, and if you are a homosexual, it means that you engage in homosexual activity. That's what makes somebody a homosexual, is engaging in homosexual activity. So if you have a child and you say, oh, the child is gay, that means that the child has been engaging in sexual activity. Now, when people talk to homosexuals about their first sexual experience, 99 times out of 100, they will say the first sexual experience they had was with an older male while they were underage, while they were a child. So their first sexual experience was actually being molested by an older male. And this can have all sorts of results in the person that this has happened to. One of those results is that they can then go on to become homosexual because they believe that they always were homosexual because their first sexual activity was with another male. And we know this because there's been interviews done in gay clubs asking gay men about their first sexual experience. So rather than preventing this from happening and saying, well, wouldn't it be better just to keep homosexuals away from children so that then they are less likely to be molested? Instead of doing that, what we've said is, well, what we'll do is we'll legalize the results of the molestation, which is homosexual activity as an adult, and we'll promote that. And I'm not saying that all homosexuals are pedophiles, but there is more of a risk with homosexuals around children. And I say that because if you look at the statistics, something like 35% of the pedophiles in prison identify as homosexual. Yet homosexuals only make up about 1 to 2% of the population. So they should only make up 1 to 2% of the pedophile population in prison, but they don't. They make up about 35% of the pedophile population in prison. Among the general population in prison, homosexuals make up 1%. So you can say that homosexuals are between 15 and 30 times more likely to be prosecuted for abusing children. Therefore, there is more of a risk with homosexuals around children than with heterosexuals. And instead of protecting children from this, they put identifiable and homosexual characters in children's TV shows to get the children to like them. And what that's really doing is it's just grooming them to put themselves into positions where they're more likely to actually be molested. And I don't think that's the goal of putting these characters in the television programs. As I've already said, that the drive behind that is to make people feel included. But if you're going to prime children to see homosexual activity as absolutely fine and absolutely normal, then they're more likely to be around it, to not feel alarmed or not feel that, that they might be unsafe if they're actually around that sort of activity. And if they are around that sort of activity, there is a higher chance that they will actually be molested. That's what these statistics tell us. So I don't think it's a good idea to put gay characters in TV shows. And I don't think it's a good idea to teach children about homosexual activity either, because they're liable to try it on each other, aren't they? Also, when you're a young boy, you're not interested in girls. All your friends are boys. You might have some friends that are tomboys. And if they're being taught in school that, oh, if you like boys, then that means if you like your own gender, then that means you must be homosexual. I can imagine kids being very confused by that and thinking, well, I must be homosexual because all my friends are boys. So these are some of the concerns that there are about having this in children's television. And it seems that Trump's attention is being drawn to this. Quoting from the article here, President Donald Trump's administration is being urged to take a close look at Netflix's LGBTQ plus inclusion in its children's shows ahead of the streamer's possible acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery. So the concern is that this sort of propaganda will also be in this other channel as well, or this other group of channels, Warner Brothers. The activist group Concerned Women for America is raising the alarm over the widespread gay agenda in the streamer's children's content and accuses Netflix of pushing an anti-child, anti-family agenda, according to the Pink News. And the Pink News is a homosexual news source. And of course, homosexuality is anti-child and anti-family, because if somebody only engages in homosexual activity, then they're not actually able to procreate a child or create a family. In order for gay men to claim that they have a family or claim that they have children, they either have had to have heterosexual sex with a woman, or they have to have adopted a child. That's why it's an anti-child and anti-family agenda. The group published a report on December 8th that asserts that kids' entertainment has been infiltrated by adults' preoccupations with sexual preferences and gender identity, and accused Netflix of engaging in identity politics with its children's programming. And it is an adult's preoccupation with this. I mean, they're quite open about what they're trying to do with it. It's social engineering. They're trying to make it so that children are more accepting of homosexuals. I can remember being a child and sort of there was always something strange about homosexuals on television, something that I couldn't really put my finger on, but that just wasn't quite right. So I think there's probably an instinctive feeling that there's something not quite right about these people when you are a child. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to counter that survival instinct that a child has and tell them that their survival instinct is actually wrong, and that it's quite normal and acceptable to see two grown men kissing, that sort of thing. And there have also been studies shown that when heterosexual men see something like that, their brain has the same reaction to it as if they're seeing maggots consuming rotten meat. It's an instinctive sort of revulsion that people feel. And that's what they're trying to counter with all of this, because they don't want homosexuals to get beaten up, and we want them to feel welcome in our society. I mean, that is the actual drive behind this. But the end result is that we end up putting children at risk. I mean, if you look at the Scouts of America, the Boy Scouts of America, they allowed homosexual scout leaders. And now the Boy Scouts of America is bankrupt because of all the court cases that have been taken out against them, because the Boy Scouts in the care of these homosexual leaders, in a lot of cases, ended up being molested. So by trying to make homosexuals feel welcome in the Boy Scouts, they actually put the Boy Scouts at risk of being molested. And of course, that is what happened. And that's why the Boy Scouts of America are bankrupt. I mean, at least they were a couple of years back, the last time I was researching this. Continuing with the article, we knew that Netflix aired this kind of programming, but our study quantifies how many children's programs are subverted by LGBTQ messaging and themes. These are shocking numbers, and most parents are unaware, CEO and President Penny Nance said in the report. And now with Netflix's acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery, families must be aware that Netflix will be able to expand its irresponsible approach to content moderation for children. Government should make that part of the conversation of this merger. There should be an outside independent council that represents the interests of parents reviewing program ratings, Nance wrote. And that would be a good idea if we had somebody who is concerned about this, that would look through all of this content and then put a warning on it so that parents could be aware that that what their child is watching may contain LGBTQ propaganda in it. I mean, in Russia, it's banned completely. Children are not allowed to see that sort of stuff because they don't want to encourage it in their children. I don't think Russia hates gay people. I just think they don't want to encourage it among children. With Netflix's acquisition of Warner Brothers Discovery, Netflix will be the dominant streaming service, one that many families will be pressured to embrace because of their huge and diverse catalogue, which includes the Harry Potter franchise, Nance told The Washington Times. So it's the other content on there as well, which will be a magnet for parents to subscribe to this Netflix merger. But the fact that Netflix actively drives the expansion of LGBTQ plus themes into children's programming and shows should make both parents and government regulators pause to consider the consequences of such a distortion of the market, she said. The group also performed a review of children's shows on Netflix and found that 33% of all programming ratings categories had LGBTQ plus content. Again, that's interesting. If homosexuals make up 1 to 2% of the population, why are they included in 33% of all the children's shows? Just by percentage of the population, that is a massive overrepresentation, isn't it? Even if you are going to allow homosexual propaganda to children in these shows, 33% of all shows is vastly disproportionate to the homosexual percentage of the population. Further, CWA found that 41% of both G-rated series and TVY7 programming contained LGBTQ plus content, and 24% of TVY7 shows had very explicit gay content. Now, I'm not sure what those ratings mean. I'm hoping that they mean adult. Hoping that they mean they're for adults and they don't mean that they're for year seven or something ridiculous like that, because you wouldn't want children seeing explicit gay content. But this is a very, very high percentage of programming that now contains this. In addition, CWA pointed out that older shows that were revived with new entries, such as The Magic School Bus, She-Ra, Power Rangers, The Fairly Old Parents and others, introduced gay characters where none existed in the older versions, thereby pushing gay content into series that originally had none. Of course, the concern with that is the parent will see that something like She-Ra is back on the television and they'll think, well, I remember watching that when I was a child. This would be nice for my daughter to watch the same TV programs that I did. And they don't realise that within the program is this propaganda encouraging children to identify as transgender or to behave in homosexual ways. I mean, some of the imagery, I've seen some of the stills from these cartoons, and they contain stills of little boys kissing one another. I mean, I can remember there was a book in that was available in schools, and it was showing an adult male molesting a child. And because it was in a book that was specifically for gay people, this was considered to be okay. But what it was actually showing is pedophilia. I'm not saying all homosexuals are pedophiles, but there is a larger percentage of homosexuals that are pedophiles than the percentage of pedophiles among the heterosexual community. So it's good that the Trump administration's attention is being drawn to that, and I hope they do ask questions about it. The next article I have here also concerns the Trump administration, and this concerns RF Kennedy, who I think is very good. You know, he had the courage to talk about paracetamol or Tylenol and the effect that that might be having on autistic children. I think that was a very good move to actually put him in place as the health secretary, especially when you think the last health secretary was actually transgender, and transgenders have all sorts of health issues. The title of this news story is RFK announces actions against transgender procedures on children. This is not medicine. It is malpractice. And we can contrast this with Wes Streeting over here in Britain, who is the health secretary in Britain. And at the moment, he is making it okay for experimental studies to be done on children in Britain to give them cross-sex hormones and puberty blocking pharmaceuticals and then record the results. Why he would do that, I don't know, because we already have hundreds, possibly thousands of children that were put on puberty blockers and cross-gender hormones, and they could quite easily just do follow-up studies on them to find out what the effects were. Because surprisingly enough, there aren't any studies that have actually been done, follow-up studies on children that have been given these drugs in 5 or 10 years' time to see whether their well-being has actually been increased. In fact, some studies that have almost done this have shown that there's actually no difference in well-being, or they actually feel a little bit more depressed. I can imagine they would feel depressed. If you think about what they're actually doing to themselves, they're taking drugs, which means that they'll never be able to enjoy sex. And how can you explain to an innocent child what sex is when you're an adult? That you're just not going to be able to explain it to them. So if you say, well, you're never going to be able to enjoy sex, they might think, well, I don't have sex now. It doesn't bother me. And so how can you say that that's informed consent? That it's impossible for a child to give informed consent to do something like that. Also, when you go through puberty, it's not just your outer body that changes. Your brain goes through changes as well, and you have a mature adult brain. If you take puberty blockers, your brain is not going to mature. You're not going to be able to, again, you're not going to be able to make informed consent about these issues. And this is just the puberty blockers. This is before we get on to actual procedures that have been done on children, castrating little boys, cutting the breasts off of little girls. And on top of that, they tell them that it's possible for them to actually change sex. So instead of encouraging the children to be happy in the body that they are in, they encourage them to believe that they can actually change sex and that they've been born into the wrong body. And then when they discover that actually they can't, and if they're a boy, then they will always have big hands and they will always have big feet, and people will always know that they're actually male rather than female. That can be absolutely crushing for them if they've been told since they were a child that it was possible for them to actually change sex. And I really don't think they should be encouraging children to think that that is the case. You always get effeminate men and you always get masculine women. It doesn't mean that they were born into the wrong body. And people should be encouraged to be happy with the body that they've got, because that is their only body. And their soul, their spirit, is an extension of that body. It's like when you look at the rainbow, it's all different colors, but it's one rainbow. When you look at a human being, there's mind, body, spirit, soul, and it's all part of the same being, part of the same unique being. You can't just take a soul from one person and stick it into a body like they do in anime. That's just not possible. And I know some people might say, well, how do you know that's not possible? Well, philosophy has talked about these subjects for thousands of years, for millennia, and discussed it. And the soul and the mind and the spirit and the body are all part of one unique whole. You can look at metaphysics to understand that. I think Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson has a very good understanding of this from Orthodox Christianity, because this is the sort of topics that they would discuss. It's quite amazing that we have such an atheistic system, and yet it's willing to believe that it's possible for people's souls to be born into the wrong body. Well, getting on to this article here, the Trump administration is taking 6 decisive actions against transgender procedures on children, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced on Thursday. According to a press release detailing the actions, HHS is aiming to carry out President Donald Trump's executive order directing HHS to end the practice of sex-rejecting procedures on children that expose young people to irreversible harm. And this is the problem with it. It's absolutely irreversible. And they say to these children, oh, if you decide that you want to be a boy in the end and you're happy being a boy, then we can just reverse this procedure and you can just stop taking the puberty blockers. But the harm has already been done. If that child has been taking an imprint from the opposite gender for a certain number of years, and then they decide to go back to their normal gender, they're never going to actually be able to behave in a normal way. When you're a child, you look at your father. If you're male, you look at your father. If you're a girl, you look at your mother, and you look at the way that the grown-ups act, and that becomes the way that you act. And if you're spending all your time looking at the opposite genders and grown-ups, then you're going to have a difficulty in actually behaving in a normal way once you become an adult, if you ever do become an adult, because if they're taking these puberty blockers, then they're not actually going to mature their brains in the way that normal mature adults have. And there is an argument where they say, well, these puberty blockers are given to children that have early onset of puberty, and they block them and they're okay. But that's early onset of puberty. That's going into puberty at the age of 5 when you're not supposed to go into the age of puberty. So they then block it until they're 13 or 14. That's very, very different from giving it to somebody who is 13 or 14 to block the natural progress of adolescence. The doctors assume a solemn obligation to protect children. Doctors across the country now provide needless and irreversible sex-rejecting procedures that violate their sacred Hippocratic oath, endangering the very lives that they are sworn to safeguard, Kennedy said during the announcement. But this is nothing new, is it? We know that doctors swear this oath not to do any harm, yet they then perform abortions. So the fact that they are castrating little boys and cutting the breasts off of young girls doesn't actually surprise me, because we do all these twists and turns to justify all sorts of things that we do, which we shouldn't be doing. And yet we pretend that it's a moral imperative to have abortions, for instance, when effectively it just means killing off children, especially when you think Europeans aren't producing enough children to replace ourselves. And In men, the sperm rate is only half what it should be, and it's dropping at a rate of knots. It's something like over the last 40 years, it's halved. So if in another 40 years' time, men may not even be able to produce viable sperm anymore. And yet we still have this promotion of abortion, and abortion being a good thing. And anybody that has experienced abortion will tell you it's not a good thing, and it can affect these, it will affect these women for the rest of their lives. They will feel bad about what they have actually done, and in a lot of cases they will regret it. But of course, once you've made that decision, they have to stick by it. It's no good saying, oh well, I regret it, because that will put them in this negative frame of mind. So they have to justify what they've done and come up with justifications for it, moral justifications for it, which I don't think really stand up to scrutiny. You're talking about a human life there. The American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, peddled a lie that chemical and surgical sex-rejecting procedures could be good for children who suffer from gender dysphoria, he said, explaining that they have betrayed the estimated 300,000 American youth ages 13 to 17 conditioned to believe that sex can be changed. So he's saying that that's a lot of children that have been lied to and told that they can actually change their sex. And he's saying chemical and surgical sex rejecting procedures, because chemical castration is just suppressing the body's ability to produce its own testosterone. You'll often hear people saying, well, why don't they chemically castrate these pedophiles? Well, they would have to give these pedophiles a blood test every day to check that they haven't taken some testosterone to make up for the fact that their body can't produce its own. It's not that they're literally cutting somebody's testicles off. And even if they did cut somebody's testicles off, they could still inject themselves with testosterone and then they would no longer be castrated. So chemical castration isn't really an option to deal with pedophiles. And chemical castration is effectively what they do to these children by suppressing their body's ability to produce its testosterone. So they're literally telling children that they should get themselves chemically castrated. They should willingly volunteer to have the same thing done to them that some pedophiles do to themselves. Because there is a program, I believe, in America where pedophiles can voluntarily go for this chemical castration, but there's nothing to stop them from just taking testosterone, and then they would no longer be effectively castrated. They betrayed their Hippocratic oath to do no harm. So-called gender-affirming care has inflicted lasting physical and psychological damage on vulnerable young people. This is not medicine, it is malpractice, the secretary continued. I mean, this is quite a contrast, isn't it, from the last health secretary, Rachel Levine, who was actually transgender. We are done with junk science driven by ideological pursuits, not the well-being of children. A peer-reviewed report published by the HHS Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health last month confirms that sexual rejecting procedures impose medical dangers and lasting harm on children who receive these interventions, Kennedy added, announcing the 6 decisive actions guided by what he described as gold standard science, as well as the executive order from President Trump to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. And again, you have to ask, well, why is it that we have this? And it's because we have adult transgenders who believe that their lives would have been made a little bit easier for them if they'd been able to start taking cross-gender hormones when they were younger. But these people are activists and they're also adults. And the problem is when you have schools that, because of the diversity legislation, they have to have training on transgender issues. And who do they go to for the training on transgender issues? Well, they'll go to a charity to do with transgenders. And of course, that charity will be run by activists. And if the teacher starts asking questions and says, well, it isn't actually possible to change sex, then they will be accused of being transphobic. And in some cases, people have lost their jobs for speaking up against this. So this is the problem that you have. You have adult transgenders who think that this is a good idea, but they haven't actually gone through it themselves. They are adults. And then you have people that want to protect children and say, well, the risk of that child actually having something different, like body dysmorphia or bulimic or anorexia, or what's that other one, bipolar personality disorder. There are all sorts of issues that people can have. And if they get it into their heads that they're actually transgender and they say to the doctor, well, I think I'm transgender, well, that doctor then has to affirm that they're transgender. They can't then say, well, I think you might have autism or I think you might have something else, because that would be transphobic. So you've got a real problem here with people being diagnosed as having gender dysphoria who might very well have some other kind of problem. And then if they start taking these irreversible drugs and having surgeries, then they're really going to be in trouble. And for the small number that it might be effective for, it's not worth the risk to the number of people that might regret doing this. And we have these transgenders that regret doing what they have actually done. We have men that regret having cut their penises off. They thought that this would be the end of all their problems, and it's not. It's caused a whole host of new problems for them. This is why we need to protect the children from it. It's not that we hate transgenders or we hate transgender children. We want to protect children from having these irreversible procedures that they might seriously regret. I mean, if you, as an adult, you imagine what it'd be like if somebody had castrated you when you were a child, if you're an adult man. And it's absolutely horrendous to think of. And to think that we have allowed ourselves to do this out of this desire to make transgenders feel welcomed. I mean, it shows that we're very welcoming people. White people are extremely welcoming and friendly people. But it also shows that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And we try to do these good things and we end up doing the wrong thing. That's why I would suggest, that's why it's important why we have a Bible and why we should stick to Christian tradition. You have laws and rules there that supposedly come from someone eternal, so they can see what the end result of allowing these things would be. And that's why we're not supposed to do them. But we look at them today and we say, oh, well, what about the individual's right to do what the individual wants to do? And we've done that for the last 100 years, and now we're on a course to ending civilization as we know it, because the women won't produce babies. And they won't settle down with the husbands because we've allowed quick divorce and we've promoted homosexuality and we're promoting transgenderism. And all these things result in the end of us as a people. And that's why they are spoken against in things like the Bible, I believe. Gone a little bit off topic there. Looking at the press release that was given with this, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, will release a notice of proposed rulemaking to bar hospitals from performing sex-rejecting procedures on children under age 18, that's good, not under 16, as a condition of participation in Medicare and Medicaid programs. Nearly all US hospitals participate in Medicare and Medicaid, and this action is designed to ensure that the US government will not be in business with organizations that intentionally or unintentionally, and I believe in most cases it's unintentionally, inflict permanent harm on children. CMS is proposing this rulemaking pursuant to its long-standing authority in sections 186, 1871, and 1905 of the Social Security Act, which authorized the agency to establish standards necessary to protect patient health and safety in Medicare and Medicaid participating hospitals. As I say, I think most people come from a position of not wanting to harm anybody and wanting everybody to feel welcome. But there will also be a minority of adults who have deviant reasons for why they wish to promote this. If you think an adult pedophile might promote this because it means that children won't actually be able to grow up, it means that you'll have people over the age of consent that are still actually in child's bodies, and the pedophile then couldn't be charged with abusing them. So there are reasons why deviant people might support this agenda, but I think in most cases it comes from a desire to help people and make everybody feel welcome in society. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. today signed a declaration based on an HHS peer-reviewed report finding that these procedures do not meet professionally recognized standards of healthcare. But how could these procedures be carried out if they don't meet these standards? Well, it's because of the activists. And because if you speak up against this, you'll be accused of being homophobic or transphobic. Under the declaration, practitioners who perform sex-rejecting procedures on minors would be deemed out of compliance with those standards, so they wouldn't get the insurance money that they get for Medicare and Medicaid if they carry out these procedures. CMS Administrator Dr. Mehmet Oz said in a statement, "Children deserve our protection, not experimental interventions performed on them that carry life-altering risks with no reliable evidence of benefit." That's the issue, that there are no studies which say that doing this is actually of any benefit whatsoever. What we have is adult transgender activists who say that it would be of benefit. This proposal seeks to clarify that hospitals participating in our programs cannot conduct these unproven procedures on children. CMS will ensure that federal program standards reflect our responsibility to promote the health and safety of children, he added. And again, you just contrast this with over here in Britain, we've had a big report into the transgenderism, transgender in children, the CAS report, and the result of that report was that it said there is no evidence to show that this is of any benefit whatsoever. There's lots of evidence to show that it causes permanent harm to children that are given these cross-gender chemicals, and we should not allow it. And on that advice, they stopped doing it. But she also said we need to do further studies so that we do actually learn about this stuff, so that we can be certain about this, what the effects are going to be. And any sane person would say, well, surely you can do those studies on people that have already been given these cross-gender hormones and puberty blockers. But Wes Streeting wants to give them out to a whole new cohort of children. So he's wanting to give this stuff to children, and in America they're wanting to stop this stuff from being given to children. As I say, it's quite a contrast there between the two administrations. The press release also notes that HHS is working to reverse the Biden administration's attempt to include gender dysphoria within the definition of a disability. It's a personality disorder, I would have thought. It's dysphoria of some kind, isn't it? Not being happy with your own body. But I'm not sure that it's a physical disability or a mental disability. This all represents a drastic change from the Biden administration, which actually had Rachel Levine, a man who believes he is a woman, serve as Assistant Secretary for Health while advocating for transgender procedures on children. And the Biden administration was very big on this, actually. I think they made the first transgender admiral in the naval fleet, as well as putting forward this transgender as the health secretary. And I can remember the person that they had to deal with nuclear waste was also a homosexual into sadomasochism. There was pictures of him dressed up as dogs with dog collars, and he had a quite disgusting blog. And he got caught at the airport with stolen women's underwear in his suitcase. So the Biden administration did have a penchant for perversity, I think. Let's have a look at some of the things that Levine said. They said, it only takes one supportive adult to increase a queer young person's quality of life and reduce the risk of self-harm. And does he mean a child there by young person? As I say, children should not be identifying as queer, because if they are, what they're actually saying is that they have been molested. They've been sexually abused. It can be a parent or family member. And again, one of the reasons why people actually end up being transgender is because when you are a child, you seek out attention. You want your parents' attention. Your parents might be working. They might not be able to devote the amount of attention that you want. Children are attention seeking. And if they have a close family friend or a family relative who pays the attention to the child, perhaps it's somebody that always wished that they had a young daughter, but they never had a daughter, they never had any children. And they might pay more attention to a young boy that's their nephew. And they might start treating the young boy as if he's a girl. And they might convince themselves that he is actually a little girl rather than a little boy. And the little boy might like all the attention and realize that when he behaves in a feminine way, he gets more attention from this relative. And that could cause this child to identify as the opposite gender. This is what happens. I mean, there was a case of a young lad, I forget what his name was, and the father was struggling to get custody of him because the mother wanted to give him chemical castration chemicals and have him give him surgery at the age of 16, and he was in California. And when he was, Luna is what the child's name was when it was with the mother. When it was with the mother, it would behave like a little girl. And when it would go and stay with the father, then they would play football and want to do boys' things. It's because children want to please their parents and they want to please grown-ups. And if there is a grown-up that will be pleased if they behave as the opposite gender, then they're likely to behave as the opposite gender. You know, that can be the cause of this transgenderism. It can be something as simple as that. Levine continued, it can be a doctor, a coach, or other supportive figure. And in Scotland, I can recall doing podcasts a couple of years back about this guidance that was issued to primary school teachers saying that they were qualified to diagnose a transgender child from the age of 3 and over, and they should socially transition the child, and if they believed that the parents might be transphobic, they should socially transition the child without telling the parents. Imagine that if you're a parent and you've got a child and you're sending the child to school and one of the teachers there thinks that your child is actually the opposite gender and they think you're a right-wing bigot, so they're not going to tell you. And what they're actually doing is they start socially transitioning the child. So you send your little boy to school, and when he's at school, the teacher is referring to him as a little girl. And that was literally the guidance that was coming from the Scottish National Party to primary school teachers, that they could diagnose transgenderism in a child over the age of three, from the age of three and onwards. So Levine continued, it can be a doctor, coach or other supportive figure, even if they don't work in healthcare. See, echoing what the Scottish National Party said, even if they don't work in healthcare. Asserting that transgender procedures, or as the left calls them, gender-affirming care, are medically necessary, safe and effective for transgender and non-binary youth and adults. And again, this is such a contrast with what we're seeing today. And this is the way that the left refers to it, gender-affirming care. But they're not actually affirming the gender of the patient's body. What they mean is affirming the patient's dysphoria, that they are actually born into the wrong body. So it's good that the Trump administration are preventing this from being done to any more children. It's not good that in Britain we are preparing to start giving these chemical castration drugs to a whole new cohort of children. And I do hope that Trump takes a look at this study, which shows you how much LGBTQ propaganda there is in children's television, and perhaps asks them to make a promise not to do that, perhaps, with this other TV channel that Netflix are seeking to purchase. Well, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Euro to talk about Deep Space Nine on the Daily Nationalist. So until then, I shall say Merry Christmas, God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.